It was Detective Sergeant McBride's misfortune that he'd been forced to kill one of the big Irishman's sons. And that was the thing Donovan wouldn't forgive nor ever forget. McBride stepped to the corner of the freight car and stared into the flame-streaked night. Sizzling like water on a hot plate, lightning flashes lit up the train yard, scorching the darkness with bolts of scarlet and gold. Nothing moved in the searing light that flickered like a gigantic magic lantern before dying into blackness. There was no sound but the crash of thunder and the dragon hiss of the rain. "You see anything, Sergeant?" Burns asked again, a faint note of hope rising in his voice. "Nothing." McBride let his gun drop to his side. With a toe, he pushed his wet carpet bag farther under the freight car and turned and stood by the inspector. "This doesn't sit well with me," he said. "I mean to cut and run like this. It's sticking in my craw like a dry chicken bone." Rain ran in rivulets off the black oilskin capes both men wore and drummed on their plug hats. Around them, the raging night was on fire. Burns spoke slowly, as though he were talking to a child. His eyes tried and failed to meet McBride's in the gloom. Thunder crashed, lightning flared, and the air smelled of ozone and the rubbery tang of wet oilskin. "John," he said, "Donovan vows he'll pay the man who brings him your ears $1,000 in gold." "I know that, Inspector," McBride said, a small, stiff anger rising in him. "Isn't that the reason we're here?" "So I'm telling you something you already know, but it won't do you any harm to hear it again." He waved a hand. "Back there in the kitchen, there's no lack of toughs who'll cut any man, woman, or child in half with a shotgun for $50. The word is out, John. You're a brave man and a good officer, but you're in over your head. For $1,000, they'll come at you in the hundreds. There'll be no end of them. And finally, they'll get you, someday, somewhere, with a bullet or knife in the back." "I could go after Donovan," McBride said. He'd moved even closer to Burns, and the hard planes of his face seemed cast in bronze. "If he's out of the way, there's no one to pay his blood money." Inspector Burns shook his head, a motion McBride heard rather than saw. "John, you know we can't touch Donovan, at least for now. He covers his slimy tracks real well. Even if we did arrest him, his battery of high-priced lawyers would get him out within the hour, and later they'd make sure we never got a conviction." Burns's laugh was bitter. "Add to that the fact that he's got half of City Hall in his pocket, and right now Mr. Donovan is well-nigh untouchable." McBride stepped closer to Burns, a gusting wind slapping rain into his face. "He's not untouchable, Inspector. I can get to him." It took a few moments for the implication of what McBride had just said to sink into Burns's consciousness. He put his hand on the taller man's wet shoulder. "Sergeant McBride, you are an intelligent, brave, and resourceful officer. But if you killed Sean Donovan, it would be my unpleasant duty to charge you with murder. That means either the rope or 40 years in Sing Sing. Either way, Donovan would have won, because you'd be dead or buried alive in the penitentiary." Burns made a fist and punched McBride lightly on the chest. "You think about that now, Boyle." A sense of utter defeat weighing heavy on him, McBride turned his face to a black sky cobwebbed with lightning, thunder roaring like gigantic boulders being hurled along a marble hall. He said nothing. He couldn't find the words. "John, you'll leave for the Western Lands just as we planned," Burns said, his tone cajoling. "A man can lose himself out there in the wilderness. After that, let me deal with Donovan. Let the law deal with him." "The law hasn't dealt with him so far," McBride said. "What makes you think things will change?" "He'll make a slip, John. His kind always do. We'll get him in the end and lock him away for a long, long time." "And then I can come running back," McBride said. His voice was flat, the words tasting bitter as acid on his tongue. "Yes, John, then you come back. The product..."